This gospel passage you just heard takes place at our Lord's ascension into heaven. This is the conclusion, basically, of Matthew's gospel. And our Lord here makes the sacrament of baptism absolutely necessary for our salvation. He commands them to go out and baptize, but using a particular formula. And he makes it very clear, very explicit, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we reflect on today, in today's feast, the Most Blessed Trinity. And we'll see why our Lord makes this formula absolutely necessary. To baptize in the name of each person of the Blessed Trinity, the one God, three distinct persons in one God, the Blessed Trinity. Of course, in our week, intellects, we can't actually understand the Trinity. In fact, it is recounted of St. Augustine that on one occasion, as a boy, he was along the sea, and he was digging a hole in the sand. Actually, no, he came along and he saw an angel digging who appeared as a boy. He was a young boy digging a hole in the sand. And St. Augustine asked, well, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to dig this hole. I'm going to fill this hole with all the water from the sea. And the saint says, well, you know, you really can't do that. How can you put all that water in one small little hole? You can't do that. And the boy says, and you cannot understand the Blessed Trinity. Now, of course, the boy was actually an angel who was already in the presence of the Blessed Trinity, already enjoyed the beatific vision. But for us to try to understand what all that is and how do that, that's what we call a mystery of faith. We can understand a little bit. We can study a little bit. But we can't know exactly how that works. How can you have one God, three distinct persons, all eternal? No beginning, no end. See? But yet, that's the reality. And that's what we reflect on today. That very reality, and how can we understand at least a little bit? And what is our response? That's what we want to see here. And, well, actually it's already spelled out right here in the gospel passage we just heard, all three persons. And we're going to see a little bit later on exactly when we see our response, where it's spelled out again. Actually, it's spelled out before this one, but I'll come back to that. Now, first of all, we see this very mystery, that we have three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, yet one God, one substance, as we profess in the Creed. We say the Son is consubstantial with the Father, and the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. So how do we understand, well, besides the fact that it's revealed to us, it's divinely revealed, and therefore we must hold it. In fact, that's one of the two essentials of our faith that we have to hold in order to be saved. The other, of course, very, very important to keep in mind as we go through this reflection, but always, the other one is the incarnation and redemption of our Lord. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Because everything, all of the mysteries of earth, actually everything is encapsulated in that very mystery of the incarnation of our Lord, and we'll come back to that. Now, looking again at these three persons, we see, how do we understand? It's in their relationship with each other. It's the only way we can even fathom anything, if at all. The Father, who from all eternity begets the Son, generates, as it were, the Son, the same substance. And between those two, that grasp of love, that's also the key word to explain everything, love. A love so intense, it grows, it has to be shared. So now we have from all eternity this gasp of love between the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. That's why we say the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. But all three, from all eternity, no beginning, no end. There's the mystery. And so it will remain for us until the end of time when, let us pray, we all arrive at paradise and we will then see and know personally the Blessed Trinity. and we receive it when we enter into the beatific vision. And let us pray and light and strive for that. Of course, we can't do it alone, and that's why we have to reflect here. We require the grace of God, and we must seek it always. So we see in this relationship between them. Now also, to each person, while they're all active in all of the mysteries of our economy of our salvation, each person is given a particular function. We attribute a particular function. To the Father we attribute creation. All right, and therefore He is the Father that watches over all of us. Although they all, and as St. John proclaims in the prologue of his gospel, all three persons are there active in the creation. In fact, if you'll notice, if you read Genesis, when God comes to creating man, He says, let us make mankind in our image and likeness. It's in the plural, our image and likeness, because of the three persons. They're all involved. They're all creating, but we attribute particularly to the Father the creation. To the Son, redemption, the incarnation and redemption. All three persons are involved in the incarnation, but be careful, only the Son is incarnated. Only the Son became man, took on our human nature, and thus carried out our redemption. Although all three persons are involved, and we will see that in a moment. And to the Holy Spirit we attribute sanctification. He is the soul that animates the mystical body of Christ. You see, Christ is the head, the Son is the head, the Holy Spirit is the soul. Now, and so we attribute to the Holy Spirit sanctification. And we see all three, see a function of all three persons, even if all of them are active. They're all working together. They're never separated. All right. And there's another relationship we can see here also, and it's in the word mission. The Holy Father sends the Son with a mission, what? To offer redemption, to become incarnate, and to redeem us. The Son, in turn, sends the Holy Spirit to all of us after He returns to heaven in the ascension, though He's still with us alive in the Eucharist. But He sends the Holy Spirit for our sanctification, and to bring us the fullness of truth, as He told His disciples. And so, you see, we have that mission. Each person of the Blessed Trinity is involved also in our salvation. So what is our response? And here's, we're going to come in, now we come into the rest. What is our response? It's an intimate relationship with each person of the Blessed Trinity. We should be seeking an intimate relationship with each person. The Father who watches over us, who takes care of us, whom we can call out just as our Lord, and He tells us to when He gives us the Our Father who art in heaven. We saw it in the second reading, where we can call out and say, because we are His children by adoption, Abba, Father. That word Abba is a Hebrew word that really means, it's a way of saying Daddy. It's an intimate term. So we can actually approach the Father as a little child, run to Him as a child. See? And that's what our Lord is telling us to do. He's not someone far out there, way over us, that we have to be afraid of. As such, we can run to Him for protection and care. See? The Son, who, through His incarnation, is our brother, and through our baptism, He's our brother. He's also the head of the mystical body to which we all belong, the church, the mystical body of Christ. And He wants to share with us. He wants us to come to Him and talk to Him and adore Him in the Blessed Sacrament. And then we have the Holy Spirit, who then sanctifies us, gives us the grace we need to carry on, guides us, you see? So we should pray to Him for the grace and the guidance we need to carry on whatever mission we are given, whatever call we have, above all our salvation. See, it's an intimate relationship with each person. Now, we might look at ourselves and say, well, but I'm just this little nothing down here. How can I do that? What example do I have? And we have the greatest example we could possibly have. And her name is Mary, who enjoyed, had, has, just such a very intimate relationship with each person of the Blessed Trinity, and that's what's spelled out earlier in scriptures. You read the episode of the Annunciation, when Our Lady asks, how shall this be? She's told she's going to be the Mother of God. She's a consecrated virgin. She's consecrated her virginity to God. How can she fulfill His will as a virgin and still be a mother as well? She's asking, not that it would. She's not doubting by any means. She never doubted. But how will this be? How shall this be? Since I know not man. That's what she asks. And the Lord Angel spells it all out to her. And this is the first revelation of all three persons of the Blessed Trinity in the scriptures. The power of the Most High will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And the Son to be born of you will be called the Son of the Most High. All three persons, each one individually, the one God. All right? She is the daughter of the Father. She allows Him to take care of her, to watch over, guide her. She is the daughter of the Father. She is the mother of the Son, and no other creature can claim that. She is the mother of the Son. Truly His mother, the mother of God. And she is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. An intimate union of love. That's the other representation we have of the Holy Spirit. The fire of love. Love. God Himself is love, as St. John tells us. But so it's an intimate, even spousal union. And we should all seek to nurture. And we can do that very much, much easily, more easily if we go to Our Lady. Let us go to her, pray to her, give ourselves to her, that she may lead us to Him, enable us to have that relationship with each person of the Blessed Trinity, and thus ensuring our salvation, right? And ensuring that we too can carry out whatever call God gives us, whatever work He gives us to do, that we'll be able to carry it out, because it's His work. All right, it's His work. And what is His work? Now, it's the salvation of our souls, starting with our own. Again, we can't do it alone. We need the grace. Our Lady is the mediatrix of all graces. Let us go to her for those graces. Allow her to bring on us the Holy Spirit that He can animate us and bring us forth and lead us to our salvation. And then once we have that grace ourselves, we are on our road to our sanctification, our salvation, even if it's just by our example, just by our prayer. We can bring that grace to others as well. See, we have to go out and share it. Remember I said at the beginning, that love, that's the nature of love. What? It's something that grows and it has to be shared. And it was no less than that for the Blessed Trinity. A love between the Father and the Son, from whence comes forth the Holy Spirit, a love that continues to grow and grow, to the point that God decides He has to share it. He created the angels, He created us to share that love, His light. Now, in order to do that, we have to have the capacity to love. Where is that capacity found? It's in our free will. So He gave us free will. We have to be able to make the choice. And that's what He's waiting for us to do, to make that choice. To say, I serve you, to give ourselves back to God, and to allow ourselves to enter into that relationship with each person of the Blessed Trinity, a growing, intimate union of love, His love, which will last and grow for all eternity. Praise be Jesus and Mary.